Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week news podcast for the week of Monday, August 13th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to talk about the Dodd-Frank Act and its consequences for the energy sector, and specifically Title VII, which addresses the rules for trading in derivatives and monitoring counterparty risk. Now, broadly speaking, Title VII will now require energy companies that conduct derivatives trading and other hedging activities to do so through a clearinghouse. That means that the energy business must know its exposure in the derivatives trading that they are doing, and they have to use these new business partners, the clearinghouses, that previously hadn't really existed in this market. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission, which has been putting forth Title VII rules for more than a year now, very recently defined the key term, which is a swap, and they did that only last month. The CFTC will now be the primary overseer for compliance around Title VII, and the deadline to begin that should be in October. So now joining us to explore what these changes might mean for the energy trading business is Bill Hederman. He is director in the Energy Resources Regulatory Compliance Practice at Deloitte & Touche, and he is also a former director of the Market Oversight Office at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So Bill has quite a lot of experience here. And Bill, thank you for joining us today.
Morning, Matt. I'm happy to be with you and look forward to our conversation.
So I guess my first question is about the regulations we've seen from the CFTC. They've been defining swaps, swaps dealers, and much more. The question is, are we now done with creating the regulatory framework for Title VII, as in compliance officers, can they now look at these things and to get started with a compliance program?
Yeah. Well, you know, the framework is not completed yet, but there is enough of the framework for people to get started. And, in fact, I'd go further and say they better get started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within a year, whether you're a swap dealer or just a plain vanilla energy eligible contract participant, you need to start getting ready to deal with the rules. And the time started ticking for many of the obligations with the definition of swap once it's published in the Federal Register, which still had not happened as of my checking today, but it's due out any day now.
Mm-hmm.
So what people need to do is make important adjustments in how they manage their energy market risks, basically.
Another question I had was about swaps dealers themselves, and clearly they're going to be some key participants in the new energy marketplace for derivatives trading. So do we know who these swaps dealers will be or how many there will be or whether they are prepared for the role they're going to be assuming now?
Well, swap dealers are certainly going to be key to the new marketplace working. And basically, if you want to guess about who will be a swap dealer, you look to the big players. You know, we know who some of them will be from our work, but we're not free to be sharing that at this point. But the commission has estimated there will be a little more than 100 swap dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that includes the financial services industry as well as the energy industry. Within the energy industry, we expect to be significantly fewer than the commission total estimate.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a sense of how well they're going to be prepared for their role, though?
Their obligations are massive,
mm-hmm.
which is why there will be so few of them. To get ready for this is an effort that probably will take tens of professional years in terms of levels of effort. And so the parties that are preparing for that have their own large internal teams working on this, and so many of them are seeking external help as well because it's overwhelming their own staff, and they
mm-hmm.
need to keep their own regular practices going. Probably as or more important because this is such a small set of your listeners that need to worry about the swap dealers, is something else that I would have mentioned about what everyone needs to be doing. We've been advising our clients that there are six action steps that everyone who intends to continue using derivatives as part of their market risk program should be taking, and I'd be happy to enumerate those if you think it would be helpful to you.
Well, sure, yeah. Let's if it's a six-step program to make sure you're okay on this, what are the six?
Yeah, so first, it's time to deploy a dedicated Dodd-Frank implementation team, and it needs to be cross-functional. It can't just be from your regulatory and compliance group. You've got to have finance, the trading operations, legal, IT all involved in it. Another real important one, and this will be important as early as this fall if the swap definition comes out in the Federal Register in the next couple of weeks, is you need to be preparing to track your positions and relate them to position limit obligations. The position limit obligations apply to everyone, and the commission is highly likely to be going out and checking up on people and making sure they know their positions. And I've heard senior persons from the commission say, you know, no trader can be a professional and not know his or her positions. And so they do not expect the answer of, well, we'll have to check up on that when they ask about trader positions. They want an immediate answer on that. Another important one is assess your chances of ending up as a swap dealer or a major swap participant. That classification is going to matter a lot. Most parties will not face it, but you want to have checked it. You want to have checked it with legal counsel as well as your business staff, and probably want to memorialize how you came to the conclusion that you're not. Next, you want to validate your record-keeping capabilities. There are a lot of new records you're going to have to keep, and immediately you need to assure yourself that you're maintaining the transition records that have been mandated that you archive. You want to make sure that you understand what you'll have to capture in the future around deals, and make sure that you're working to be ready to do that, you know, within the year for sure. And also you want to check on large trader reporting obligations and rules and check whether you have to be paying attention to those or not. And again, memorialize your conclusions on that. Also be ready on real time and other reporting obligations. And then finally, make sure you're evaluating the potential credit implications of these changes. You may need to change your agreements with parties, and you also may need to have more capital tied up than you had been planning in the past. But so those are the six steps.
So out of the six, which do you think are going to be the most difficult for energy companies to grapple with? I know I had originally made some notes here. I figured it would somehow be either people or technology or process. That's typically one of the three realms is what drives a compliance officer up the wall. But when we're looking at Title VII here, where do you think the choke points are really going to be for a compliance officer at an energy company?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that processes and technology are going to be challenges here. The IT system enhancements probably will be straightforward for the typical company, but that said, it will involve change. You're going to need to make things compatible that did not have to be compatible in the past and so forth, and the lead time is the challenge there. On the processes, there are a lot of new activities that you're going to have to be monitoring, et cetera, and so you just, again, I think they're largely straightforward, But you need to be moving forward on them. And you know, as many clients have found, it isn't all crystal clear as they look at what they're doing now, how to get to where they need to be going forward.
Okay.
And you know, your third one of people ends up relevant too, because all of that takes a lot of professional talent to make it happen.
Now, one last question I had about something we've seen in the news just recently here was the announcement by the Intercontinental Exchange, ICE, that they want to move some swaps to the futures exchanges. And some people are wondering if ICE is trying to do some sort of an end run around the CFTC. I guess, could you maybe in layman's terms talk us through what is going on there and what the significance of ICE's announcement actually is?
Sure. So ICE's move did surprise a lot of energy market participants, and I think it's a pretty bold and creative step. Basically, derivatives and futures have a lot of the same financial and economic functions. They, you know, they have different names and they're subject to different rule of law. And basically, what Dodd-Frank was trying to do was get over-the-counter derivatives out of the dark places in the energy marketplace and put them under the light of day on exchanges. And what ICE seems to be proposing here would move it into the full light of day, you know, go from midnight to noon sort of change in terms of the transparency here. And I don't think it constitutes an end run in any way. I have heard that allegation as well. But frankly, to create any new futures contract, you need CFTC approval. You may, for ICE, even need some UK approval. So this is not going to move forward without support from the appropriate regulatory authorities. So,
okay.
I see it as just one of these really interesting examples. When I was a regulatory policymaker, I loved to see a private sector response to a new regulation that was creative and responsive in dealing with the goal. You know, the private sector can do this stuff so much more effectively than the government can, and you know, if they live to the spirit of the law, and it seems to me like this is along those lines. They found a business opportunity and are trying to grab it. We'll
All
have
right.
to see if it delivers a win-win solution or not.
Well, Bill, on that note, we are out of time here, and we'll have to leave it at that wait and see with ICE's action. But you covered plenty of ground for us today, so thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Matt. Happy to do it. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. And again, everybody, that was Bill Hederman. He is director in the Energy and Resources Practice at Deloitte & Touche, and he was talking with us about the energy sector's efforts to comply with Title VII of the Dodd-Frank Act. I should add that if you'd like to hear more on this subject, we will actually be holding a one-hour virtual forum with Bill and his colleagues at Deloitte on Monday, August 20th. That is free for anybody who would like to listen. Please email me, Matt Kelly, at mkelly@complianceweek.com. Email me there, and I can send you some details about how you can join us. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.